Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text Number 13. So, Kumbhi, by the human being. Jijasrishtaha, best among the twice born. Vanna Ashama, the institution of four castes and four orders of life. Vibhagasaha, by the division of. Sanuttistasha, of one's own prescribed duties. Dharmasya, occupational. Samsiddhi, the highest perfection. Hari, the personality of Godhead. Toshanam, pleasing. Translation. Best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Human society all over the world is divided into four castes and four orders of life. The four castes are the intelligent caste, the martial caste, the productive caste, and the laboring caste. These castes are classified in terms of one's own work and qualification and not by birth. Then again, there are four orders of life, namely the student life, the householder's life, the retired and the devotional life. In the best interest of human society, there must be such divisions of life, otherwise no social institution can grow in a healthy state. And in each and every one of the above-mentioned divisions of life, the aim must be to please the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. This institutional function of human society is known as the system of Varnashram Dham, which is quite natural for the civilized life. The Varnashram institution is constructed to enable one to realize the absolute truth. It is not for artificial domination of one division over another. When the aim of life, that is realization of the absolute truth, is missed by too much attachment for indriya vritti or sense gratification, as already discussed herein before, the institution of Varnashram is utilized by selfish men to pose an artificial predominance over the weaker section. In the Kali Yuga, or in the age of quarrel, this artificial predominance is already current, but the saner section of the people know it well, that the divisions of caste and orders of life are meant for smooth social intercourse and high thinking self-realization, and not for any other purpose. Herein, the statement of Bhagavatam is that the highest aim of life, or the highest perfection of the institution of the Varnashram, is to cooperate jointly for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 13. So, because today is Shrimati Radharani's appearance day, so we will speak something about Shrimati Radharani. Uh, speaking something about Srimati Radharani is not something you can dive into, just abruptly, because the understanding, in order to understand the position of Srimati Radharani, there are preliminary understandings. Here, of course, it is being described that the highest perfection of life is of one's occupational duties is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the statements of the scriptures is that of all the devotees of the Lord, no one can please Lord Sri Krishna more or better than Srimati Radharani. So, if we want to learn how to please Krishna, then the ultimate guru is Srimati Radharani herself. We can please Krishna to lesser degrees, but if we want to please Krishna as far as possible, according to our eternal constitutional position, actually we must take shelter of Srimati Radharani. On Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, there was this song, we read from the Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja book, Prayer into the Lotus Feet of Krishna. Now, the refrain of text one of that song composed by Srila Prabhupada is this: Krishna tave punya have bhai, e punya karive jave, radharani kushe have, dhruva ati boli tomatai. I emphatically say to you, O brothers and sisters, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. So, this is Srila Prabhupada describes the same thing. So, in order to understand how Srimati Radharani pleases Krishna in the topmost way, so that we can follow in her footsteps, we have to. This verse actually here, this verse, today's verse, is giving us a starting point. That's what it's doing. Lord Sri Krishna has kindly arranged a place for us to start our glorification of Srimati Radharani. It's very interesting because if anyone's listened to some of the lectures, not many, by Srila Prabhupada on the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, three quarters of one of his lectures is about Varnashram Dham. He just, from there, from that platform, when he's satisfied that the audience had a preliminary understanding, he mentioned something about Radharani. So it's not something that we can just jump into too quickly. Because even though we may say what is there in the scripture, it still will not be understood properly. And in fact, it can do harm because people may artificially imitate or misunderstand the confidential understanding of Srimati Radharani, and that's actually not productive to our advancement. So, actually, in a conversation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roya, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roya that you please describe what the sastras say is the ultimate goal of life, and Ramananda Roya initially replied that by executing the duties of Varnashram Dham, one awakens Krishna consciousness, and in the purport Srila Prabhupada, in order to confirm that, he quotes this very verse. So, you know, this is the very beginning of that understanding. And as Srila Prabhupada has described, that, you know, factually, because as mentioned in this verse and in the same purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna arranged that system himself. Therefore, it does satisfy Lord Sri Krishna that it is followed, the Varnashram, the four orders, four social orders, and four spiritual orders of life. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still, he said that, you know, that is external. So, you know, you'd better say, tell me of something else, you know. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described that that is external because actually Ramananda Raya, he then quoted a verse from the Bhagavad Gita from the 9th chapter, verse 27, that whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you sacrifice, whatever charity you give, whatever austerities you perform, whatever you do that, you give the results to me. So, in that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining that, you know, this is the principle of the Varnashram system, actually, that people are actually performing material activities under the modes of material nature, you know, the brahmanas and goodness and the chachus and passion and the vices and, you know, passion and ignorance and the sudras and in ignorance. They're performing activities in the modes of material nature. But Krishna is saying, but, you know, you must dedicate the results of those activities to me, otherwise they're not, you know, you're not doing anything to please me. You're simply maintaining your material existence. So when you actually do all those duties, but do it in such a way that you're trying to please the Supreme Lord. Now, of course, although Krishna is saying to please me, that doesn't necessarily mean that people in the Varnashram system accept Krishna as the Bhagavan or the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the source of even Narayan. Many people will say, yes, you know, we're doing it to please Krishna, who's representing Narayan as one of his incarnations, like this. So, but they accept the same principles that you do, you know, the Varnashram duties in order to please the Supreme Lord. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya, you know, rejected this as, you know, the first proposal as being something external. So therefore Ramananda Raya presented that verse from the Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Chaitanya also, especially in this age of Kali, he says that actually Varnashram is not properly executed as well, and that's another reason why, you know, that initial process is rejected. But so he asked him to go further because, you know, the activities in the Varnashram system, people are performing materialistic activities, they're not performing transcendental activities, but they gradually learn to dovetail those material activities with the Supreme Lord in order to become free from the reactions of their sinful activities. So. And also, in doing their activities, they learn to accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not take their duties as the all in all. In other words, they understand, well, we're performing duties, but who set up these duties? The Supreme Lord did, so we must accept his authority. It's not that we're just, you know, doing these duties with no relationship with the Supreme Lord. So, but actually Lord Chaitanya's movement, the activities of Lord Chaitanya's movement are imported directly from Goloka Vrindavan. So, their transcendental activities, the activities that we perform in the Hare Krishna movement, they're the ones that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prefers, because they're actually spiritual activities, they're not external. Now, so he's pushing Ramananda Roya towards this point, to discuss these points. Of course, Ramananda Roya has all these realizations, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to hear, he wants to glorify his devotee, Ramananda Roya. So something like the cloud raining upon the ocean, you know, that the ocean is the source of the water in the cloud, but then the cloud comes back and rains on the ocean. Ramananda Roya, just slowly progressing level by level, he then proposes he actually mentions the verse in Bhagavad Gita 1866 that a person completely surrenders to the Supreme Lord and gives up all his activities in the Varnashram. In other words, he takes sannyas, so he gives up his materialistic activities. Now, this is, again, this is a preliminary understanding of this verse of the Bhagavad Gita. So in other words, people follow this verse of the Bhagavad Gita 1866 to surrender to Krishna, but not like we do in ISKCON. They will accept that and give up family life and Varnashram duties, but they think that's the end of it. They don't then, they feel that that is surrendering to God. They don't necessarily take up devotional activities, but they feel that they're following. You know, we understand, of course, that, you know, there's something a lot more to that verse. So therefore, Ramananda Roya is quoting that verse in that sense, that preliminary understanding, not in its full aspect. Again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore not being satisfied, he asks him to go forward a little further, and so Ramananda Roya quoted the verse 1854 from the Bhagavad Gita, that when one comes to the level of Brahman, being equipoised, neither hankering nor lamenting, that person is qualified to begin the process of devotional service. So here, Ramananda Roya is mentioning something more than just taking sannyas. He's mentioning that you take sannyas, but that process of jnana, philosophical speculation, meditating upon the impersonal aspect of the absolute truth, you mix that with devotional service, and that is better than just taking up sannyas and giving up your activities in the Varnashram without actually taking devotional service. So still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still rejecting this. All of this so far is external. And so he's asking you to go a little further. So then Ramananda Roya quotes a prayer by Lord Brahma that from the 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, text number 3, where Lord Brahma says, give up your completely this process of speculating on the absolute truth, and hear from the devotees about the name and quality and form and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But you give up this process of jnana altogether. So now Lord Chaitanya is saying this is good, but go a little further. And then Ramananda Roya speaks that actually if one practices devotional service, loving devotional service on the ecstatic platform of love, the spontaneous ecstatic platform of love, that is far better. That is actually the highest perfection of life. So in essence, the prayer quoted by Lord Brahma was referring to sadhana bhakti, where one performs devotional service in order to, you know, because the spontaneous love has not developed, though one is trying to cultivate just pure devotional service, and one is not practicing, you know, fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. So that's very good. But still there's some impurities, and therefore the platform of ecstatic love has not actually developed. But on the platform of when one becomes purified, then the natural instincts of the living entity in relationship to the Supreme Lord again become manifest, and the ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One performs devotional service just out of pure love, not by the force of Shastra or simply by the instruction. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very pleased with this topic. From this point on, of course, all of the discussions between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy are based upon this level of devotional service. And it's at this point that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted, yes, this is what I want to hear about, but tell me more. So, because this level of devotional service is based upon intense greed. A devotee is just very greedy to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, to love Krishna. You know, it's an intense greed, very, very intense, that it is so powerful that it overrides everything. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that it is very rare that if you perform pious activities for hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes, you still don't qualify to even, you know, put your little toe on the platform of this platform of devotional service. Very, very rare. But he says, Rupa Goswami says, but if that opportunity is available somewhere in the marketplace to purchase that platform of ecstatic love, then you purchase that at any price. And of course, you know, the hint there is given that if you have intense greed for it, that is the price. Otherwise, it will never happen. You know, the acharyas describe that platform of ecstatic love for devotional service, there can sometimes be, you know, quite a lengthy period between the platform of sadhana bhakti and attaining this ecstatic, you know, love for God, because you can perform devotional service to the Supreme Lord on the platform of sadhana bhakti for, you know, many lifetimes. Until a devotee comes to the point of that intense greed, I must have, you know, they're just, it is burning within their heart. I want this platform of devotee. But until that comes, they actually haven't the sufficient guarantee to purchase that platform of love. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, yes, this is very good, but you tell me something more. And this is such nectar, you tell me. So therefore, Ramananda Roy, he described that this spontaneous platform of ecstatic loving devotion to the Lord in the mid of Dasyaras, that is the highest perfection. Because we see that, you know, there are devotees who actually come to the platform of transcendental ecstasy, such as the four Kumaras, although the main object of their worship is Krishna, who is represented as the Super Soul. Of course, one can elevate oneself beyond that platform, but generally the Santa Bhaktis, they're on the threshold of ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord, but only when a devotee develops this mood of servitorship are the Lord's opulences, full opulences as Bhagavan, understood. Because up until the point of realization of the Super Soul aspect of the Lord, of course, a devotee doesn't have the further realization that, you know, this Super Soul, in his original feature as Narayan or Krishna, you can actually personally reciprocate with him, because he enjoys, the Supreme Lord enjoys that loving transaction. That, you know, these are the qualities, the personal qualities of the Supreme Lord. So that rasya, the devotee realizes, you know, that here is a person. And I can reciprocate with that person in all sorts of activities based upon a platform of loving exchange. That realization is not prominent or completely understood on the platform of Santa Ras, even though ecstatic love of God is there in the very beginning phases. So this platform, generally, those on the platform of Dasya Ras, generally they worship Lord Narayan. That is their object of loving service, is generally Lord Narayan. But also, because there are two types of bhava, there is those who follow the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, regulative devotional service, and develop pure love of God, they can elevate themselves to the platform of Dasya Rasya in worship of Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. But those who actually follow in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who were trained to develop love of God on the platform of Raga Bhakti, spontaneous platform of devotional service, following in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis, their level of bhava is different in the sense that it is more intense, it is sweeter to the taste, and therefore, although they're on the platform of Dasya Ras, they're more attracted actually to the form of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, this is very, very nice, but you know, please show your great mercy. You go further. You speak something more. So actually, Ramananda Raya, he said, actually, the loving service to the Supreme Lord on the platform of fraternity or friendship, that is the perfection of life. Because on the platform of servitorship, it has a quality that Santa Ras doesn't have. On the platform of Santa Ras, the devotees, their ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord is manifest in the sense that they're attached and they appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they're completely detached from the material world, therefore they're completely peaceful. It's called samta. They're blissful on the spiritual platform, and they're not disturbed at all by the material platform of life. So the platform of dasya, that has those qualities as well. It has all the qualities of samta ras, but it has something more in that it has the quality of serving the Supreme Lord. So therefore, they're tasting something more. So I gave the example the other week some of the Indian gentlemen in India were saying, yes, you know, I am also your disciple, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada says, yes, but the difference is that you're on the platform of santa. You know, you're appreciating, but you're not tasting service. You know, these, you know, young boys and girls, they're tasting something more. They're on the platform of dasya. So there's something more that you can't, not tasting like that. So now this fraternity, this friendship, what happens is that on the platform of dasya, there is a fear, you know, it's a transcendental fear that one may be chastised by the master, you know, because the relationship is the servant and the master. To give an example, we see the example of Arjun, that he was actually on the platform of friendship with Lord Sri Krishna. A little mixture of awe and reverence here, but when Krishna showed him his universal form, Arjuna, he began to feel that he was very sorry that he may have offended Krishna, because actually, you know, Krishna is the supreme master like this. So there was some fear. Oh, you know, I have been sitting on the same bed with you, I've been laughing and joking with you. So there was some fear that manifested in Arjuna. That platform, Arjun was manifesting the mood of the dasya rasya. His friendship was somewhat disturbed. So that is there on a permanent basis with those on the platform of dasya rasya. But on the platform of fraternity, especially, as we said, those who follow in the footsteps of the Brajavasis, where the platform of fraternity is more intense. Symptoms of awe and reverence are completely absent, as they may, although they may be there in the, you know, friendship with Dwarka and Tura Moon. So, therefore, fraternity has all the qualities of santa. What are those qualities? Let's see if he's awake. All the qualities of santa. What are the qualities of santa?
Adoration.
What's that?
Adoration.
Yes, adoration. And peacefulness, freedom from the anxieties of the material world, and feeling that bliss of, you know, this transcendental platform. What qualities does the platform of dasya ras add to that? Service, that taste of service. Whereas friendship has all of those qualities, but the fear is absent, as with servant and master, because there is a sense of intimacy. There is a confidence that the Supreme Lord will not be displeased with one's very intimate and familiar relationships, knowing that the Supreme Lord enjoys one's friendship. So there's a confidence there. And therefore one experiences some intimacy. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked that, you know, this is very nice, but you please go a little further. So Ramananda Rai, he said that actually this Vatsalya Rasa, or parental mood of ecstatic loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord, that is the perfection of life. Now, this platform, of Vatsalya Rasa, it has all the qualities of Dasya, all the qualities of Santa, Dasya, you know, Sakya, but it has an extra quality, and that extra quality is that there is the affection of friendship is a more advanced stage of friendship, where therefore it's more intense and more encompassing, and such a devotee in their loving relationship with the Supreme Lord, they literally maintain, they want to protect, maintain, nurture the Supreme Lord. It's a friend who literally takes the role as a guardian in so many different circumstances. Of course, in the material world, when Krishna is performing his pastimes in the material world, sometimes they act in different ways to protect him from apparent disturbances, but in the spiritual world there are no disturbances. But still, there are all sorts of transcendental relationships happening, and those in that mood have that sense of wanting to provide for Krishna, and also as a guardian, as Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami mentions, the cows of Vrindavan, they're actually in Vatsalya mood. Many of the other ordinary animals and trees and what have you may be in the Dasya mood. Govardhan Hill is in the friendship mood, but the cows of Vrindavan, because they're giving Krishna milk, they're feeding him, they're nourishing him in one sense, supplying him like that. Of course, that milk, that they're supplying Krishna is composed of, it's not the ordinary milk that we drink in the material world, but it's composed of transcendental nectar. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, this is very nice, but I want to hear of the most sublime, transcendental mallow of love. And so Ramananda Raya, he said that conjugal attachment, this mood of the gopis, is the topmost perfection of love. For those devotees in, Sankhya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras, their only object of love is Krishna, the form of Krishna. No other, no one else. On the platform of Dasya Ras, as we said, generally, the object of love is Narayan. Though some in the Vrindavan mood, their object of love is Krishna, and on the Santa Ras, generally their object of love is the Paramatma, the Super Soul, and that can, gradually that can be elevated to appreciation of Lord Narayan. Now, here, if we look at this comparatively, we see that in the general love, that those who have come to the general platform of beginning love of God, there is therefore a want of the intimacy of the concept of mamata, or that my Lord is Krishna. So, in other words, there. And I am the Supreme Lord's servant. In other words, they're appreciating the Supreme Lord, but they have not necessarily that mood that accepting that, He is my Supreme Master and I am His eternal servant. That mood is absent on the platform. So something is wanting in the Santa Bhaktas. On the platform of Dasya Rasya, something is wanting in the sense that there is the lack of the intimacy and confidence that you have in friendship, and on the platform of friendship, that, you know, increased affection as found in Vatsalya is wanting, and on the platform of Vatsalya, there is lack of complete and utter freedom in one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, we see that Madhurya Rasa is the platform of where all tastes, spiritual tastes, are there for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees, and therefore only on that platform is Krishna fully satisfied. So now, you know, we get to have a glimpse of why Srimati Radharani pleases Krishna more than anyone. So just, you know, coming to this point, we just enter the initial understandings, because Srimati Radharani, of course, is the personification, the, you know, the perfection of this conjugal mood of love of God, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead feels completely satisfied. So, you know, Uddhava, when he was in Vrindavan, visiting, sent by Krishna to observe the residents of Vrindavan, he glorified this platform of the gopis, and he made this verse that while Krishna was dancing in the Rasa dance with the gopis, Krishna embraced the gopis, you know, around the neck, and embraced them, you know, with his loving embrace, and that favor was never granted even to the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. And God, Lakshmi is so dear to the Lord, but it was that was never, only to the gopis. What to speak of, you know, heavenly damsels, or, you know, any the so-called beautiful women in the material world. And he also quoted that, for our understanding, that their love for Krishna was so intense, so pure, and so satisfying to Krishna, that when Krishna disappeared from the Rasa dance, they felt so overwhelmed with a feeling of separation from Krishna, because they so intensely wanted to please Krishna. That's their very life and soul. And without that opportunity, it's like there is no life. It was so intense that Krishna was obliged to actually return, and he appeared to them again in the Rasa dance. So, from these various statements, we understand that, Srila Prabhupada explains, whatever relationship one has with Krishna, that is the most perfect relationship for that devotee. Therefore, that devotee has attained perfection, complete perfection. There is nothing wanting. Whatever eternal relationship one has with the Supreme Lord, that is the most suitable and most perfect situation according to that devotee's eternal individual identity, propensities, nature, and satisfaction. So it is considered perfect. On the other hand, if we compare comparatively the various rasas, we see that on the platform of love of God, there are in fact higher and lower levels of love. That the love on the platform of conjugal love is considered comparatively higher, because it has all the tastes that are there within all the other rasas, and there's nothing wanting. The example is given by Vishwanath Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that if we consider the qualities of earth, we know how creation is made. Is it Bhakti by Bhavas? We have ether, we have air, we have fire, we have water, and we have earth. Now, what is the quality in ether, sound. And what is the quality in air? Sound and touch. It has both. Yeah. And what is the quality in fire? Sound, touch, form. What is the quality in water? Sound, touch, form, and taste. And the quality in earth? Sound, touch, form, taste, and aroma smell. Yeah, so, you know, we can understand comparatively. And we see also that from something that is more subtle or less condensed, we get to the quality of earth, which is the most condensed. In the same way, on the platform of love of God, we come from Santa Rasa, which is the less condensed platform of love of God, and we come to Madhuri Rasa, which is the thickest, most condensed, most tasty, because it has all the taste of all the other, and therefore it is completely satisfying to Krishna. Krishna, being so completely, fully satisfied by his Madhurya Bhaktas, he agrees to become fully controlled by their love. It gives him great satisfaction. The highest form of conjugal love is found in, represented in Srimati Radharani. And therefore we see that in, you know, Radha Krishna's pastimes, that Krishna is always subjugated by Srimati Radharani. She always has full control over Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, when Krishna visited the gopis in the battle of Kurukshetra, Kurukshetra, when there was the solar eclipse, and he explained to them that, you know, one who becomes my devotee, I reciprocate with them by awarding them, up to the point of love of God where they can be transferred to the spiritual world. But previously he had told the gopis something more. He said that your love, this is when Krishna reappeared to the gopis in the Rasa dance, he said, actually your love is so incomparable. It is on such an elevated level. It is so satisfying that I cannot proportionately reciprocate with your love. And therefore, I'm eternally your debtor. I'm eternally in your debt. I am your property. I have nothing else. There's nothing else I can give you except what you most dearly want, and that is myself. That is all I can offer you. So therefore, Krishna becomes the property of his devotees, who, you know, to the degree, Krishna is the property of all his devotees who purchase him with pure love. Any devotee on any platform of love, that they can literally purchase Krishna with their platform of pure prema bhakti. But of all the devotees, he is most fully indebted, the property of the, you know, Madhurya bhaktas, devotees. So now another aspect of why the Madhurya Rasa is the most perfect is that in the company of the gopis, the qualities of Krishna are fully manifest, fully tasted. Only the gopis can actually bring out the certain qualities of Krishna which are not drawn out in the other rasas. And therefore, Krishna's beauty increases in the association of the gopis of Vrindavan. And therefore, he is most attractive. The acharyas give the example that when a beautiful jewel, like a beautiful blue sapphire, is set in gold with other beautiful gems, then it becomes most beautiful. So this is in this way, both from the platform of the gopis' love and from the platform of Krishna's qualities being tasted, this conjugal platform of love is comparatively compared to be the topmost perfection. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he was very happy with Ramananda Rai, and he thanked him. He said, yes, this is a limit of perfection. But he said, but you know, you please be merciful, you say something more. So of course Ramananda Rai, he said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, until this day, I've never met anyone. I do not know of anyone who can actually even ask questions, you know, to this level, you know, and you're asking me to go further. So of course the conversations of Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, do go on with a very nice description of the understanding of Srimati Radharani. But just for a few minutes, I don't think we'll go on just yet. But if we can reflect, you know, some of the things that Srila Prabhupada would particularly want us to meditate upon, that we can take from this understanding. So we've understood that you know, the verse is describing the goal of life is to please Lord Sri Krishna. And then we understand we've whipped through, you know, 9 cantos up to the 10th canto. We've whipped through the whole Bhagavatam to come to the conclusion today. So we, by Radharani's mercy, she's saying, you know, some of the devotees are maybe thinking, oh, you know, it'll be another 30 years before we get to the 10th canto. So we'll give them a little taste today on Radhashmi. So, but still, we should understand that what can we draw from this? That if Radharani knows how to please Krishna best, then we should learn something from that. What can I take? How can I? What can I understand that I can then please Krishna due to Radharani's mercy? That I have learned something from following in the footsteps of Radharani, that I now know how to please her, you know, as the goal of my life. I can base my life upon this understanding. So Srila Prabhupada explains that, you know, there is a verse, on that verse, of course, in the Shishastigam, Asheshava Paradatam Vanastamam Vanashinam Mamamadam Kurutva Yitatata Vavadatulam Vidu Mapananatastasi Vanapraha. I know no one else but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me broken-hearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. This verse, actually spoken by Srimati Radharani, was then repeated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srimati Radharani is revealing how we in this Sankirtan movement serve Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. That's what this verse is revealing. Radharani is saying, I know no one else but Krishna as my Lord. So the goal of my life is to make Krishna happy. Then she says that he may embrace me or may neglect me. That sometimes Radharani has competitors. Chandrarali. So there is a competition in one sense, but actually Srimati Radharani's mood is that although she gets angry at Krishna, you know, where have you been? Who have you been with? She's very angry because she knows that Krishna enjoys tasting the jealousy, the love of Radharani to that, you know that sweet jealousy, very intense mood of love, and he enjoys that. But at the same time, Radharani is prepared to give up that anger in a moment if it displeases Krishna. She is angry at Krishna because she knows he's happy, he's enjoying. But she will give up that anger in a split second if she knows and Radharani will actually go to any gopi and fall at their feet and beg them, knowing that they will somehow give pleasure to Krishna, and she will take them to Krishna. Will you please come to Krishna? You serve Krishna. You can make him happy. I cannot make Krishna happy, but you can make Krishna happy. Actually, that is the mood of the topmost devotee, that they always feel that they're unqualified to serve Krishna nicely, but everyone else, they can they're appreciating that you can do something nice to serve Krishna. So, but at the same time, we have to understand that Krishna belongs to Radharani. That Krishna is a property of Radharani. If Radharani, favors a particular person, only then will Krishna accept that person as his devotee and accept their devotional service. Therefore, we see that in that verse by Srila Prabhupada, he says, I emphatically say to you, our brothers, you obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. That is the nature of his song. So actually, the mood of the devotee following in the footsteps of Srimati Radharani is exemplified by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and all the acharyas and all the devotees coming in that line. You never see the six Goswamis working for their own particular happiness. They are teaching us that if you want to serve Krishna in the mood of Radharani and the gopis, you act for Krishna's pleasure and never for your own personal pleasure, because that is not Radharani's mood. And therefore you see that Srila Prabhupada tells the story that one time Sanatan Rupa Goswami, he wanted to do some, he was thinking, my elder brother Sanatan Goswami is such a nice devotee, Srimati Radharani. I would love to, cook some beautiful meal for him and, offer it to Krishna and, please him in this way. Anyway, he had that desire, and somehow or another, this young girl, some time later, come past and said, oh, I live in this village not far from here. We have some festival, we have so much quantity of ingredients, foods left over. We'll give this to the, you, Babaji, made this. And so Sanatan, Rupa Goswami, saying, ah, very, very nice. It's just, what I want. So he cooked this nice, beautiful meal, offered it to Krishna, and then brought his brother sitting and enjoying this prasad, meal with his brother. And he said, where did you come across this nice food stuffs? Because we're living here in the forest under a tree, very simply. And so Rupa Goswami described, this beautiful young girl come. And Sanat Goswami said, you tell me more about this beautiful young girl. And then as he was describing, they both realized, oh, that was Radharani. Radharani herself has personally come, because Radharani's in that mood that she wants to serve those devotees who are giving Krishna happiness. And Sanatana Goswami, he became angry. Yeah, what have you done? Practically you've killed me. You have made me take service from Radharani. We've both taken service. We're trying to serve. And now we're taking service from Radharani. So he became, he was very, very angry. What have you done? Because that is the reciprocal move between the Lord, Srimati Radharani, and the devotees, that the devotees never think of their own happiness. This moves this prayer, and Krishna and Radharani are always thinking, these are such nice devotees, always thinking of Krishna's pleasure. Let us serve them, let us glorify them, like this. The acharyas, they teach us that process, and that comes down through the line, through Srila Prabhupada. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, he always used to quote his spiritual master's very important statement. He said, don't try to act in such a way that you will see God, but you act in such a way that God will see you. You act in such a way that Krishna will see you. That was the mood of Bhakti Siddhanta. And that was actually the mood of Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada trained his devotees in the mood of Srimati Radharani. You don't be concerned with your happiness in the material world. You don't even think about liberation. And Prabhupada said himself, I'm not thinking of liberation, I'm prepared to go to hell. He did, he went to New York. That is where he wrote this prayer. He was only thinking that Krishna may be happy, by that activity. So he actually trained his devotees in that same mood. You don't, try to enjoy Krishna. You don't try to put yourself as some associate with Krishna where, yes, now I'm enjoying Rasa Leela with Krishna and I am so happy, I am liberated, I am this, I am that. Prabhupada taught us, you just get out there and, undergo whatever difficulties and preach Krishna consciousness. And just consider what makes Krishna happy. How do we know that makes Krishna happy? As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no devotee more dear to me than one who preaches Krishna consciousness. And strangely enough, there are different foolish people who have even left the shelter of Srila Prabhupada saying, all you're doing is teaching us how to, go out in the streets and preach and open temples, so much anxiety, so much difficulty, so much trouble. We want, Gopi Bhava. We're not getting that with. They don't understand. That is the Gopi Bhava. That is Radharani's mood. That I don't care for my own personal happiness. Let me preach Krishna consciousness because I know that Krishna likes it. Because this is the teaching of the acharyas coming through, all the way down to. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, in this song, he actually dedicates that song to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. So in his prayers to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, let me execute your mission, and he keeps saying after each line, my brothers, you'll only, what is that? I'll read the song just to conclude the class. He says that, it is, I emphatically say to you, emphatically, O brothers and sisters, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased to you, with you. And these are the verses of his song. He says, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, who is very dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is that greatly saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gaurangul was spread throughout all countries of the Western world. So we see the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta. In all the cities, towns and villages on the earth, from all the oceans, seas, rivers and streams, everyone will chant the holy name. Srila Prabhupada, just fully absorbing himself in the mood, the desire of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And each time he absorbs himself in that mood, he's understanding that by this activity, Radharani will become pleased. And when Radharani is pleased, because these are the representatives showing us what is the mood of Radharani. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati is the personification of the mood, how to serve Krishna in the mood of Radharani. As are all the Acharyas. And then he says, as the vast mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquers all directions, a flood of transcendental ecstasy will conquer over the land. When all the sinful, miserable living entities become happy, the Vaishnava's desire is then fulfilled. That is the mood of devotee. When they see everyone coming to the temple or in their homes or in the villages, when we walk out in the street and we see not people walking their dogs and, you know, they're not associating with Radharani or Krishna, but, you know, they're associating with dogs and old soul camels and husband. When we see them abandoning all their so-called material duties and dancing in the streets, in every home and every street, you know, Jai Satchinanda, Jai Shishi Radhi, then that is the Vaishnava's happiness in every place in the world. It says, although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am not worthy or fit to do it. I am very fallen and insignificant. Therefore, O Lord, now I am begging for your mercy that I may become worthy, for you are the wisest and most experienced of all. If you bestow your power by serving the spiritual master, one attains the absolute truth. One's life becomes successful. If that service is obtained, then one becomes happy and gets your association due to good fortune. He then quotes an important verse from the seventh canto by Prahlad. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Srila Prabhupada goes on, O Lord Krishna, you are my eternal companion. Forgetting you, I have suffered the kicks of Maya birth after birth. If today by chance, the chance to meet you occurs again, then I will surely be able to rejoin you. O dear friend, in your company, I will experience great joy once again. In the early morning, I will wander about the cowherd pastures and fields, running and frolicking in the many forests of Raja. I will roll on the ground in spiritual ecstasy. O, when will that day be mine? Today, that remembrance of you came to me in a very nice way. Because I have a great longing, I call to you. I am your eternal servant, and therefore I desire your association so much. O Lord Krishna, except for you, there is no other means of success. So that prayer was actually written by Srila Prabhupada aboard the Jaladutta ship when he had arrived in America on the 13th of September. So Srila Prabhupada understood that to get the association of Radharani, he went to New York to preach. He didn't artificially run around Vrindavan pretending to be one of the Goswamis or pretending to be a gopi. He went to New York to preach. He knew, this is where I will find Srimati Radharani's mercy, because that is the order of the spiritual master. And when Radharani becomes pleased, because we're carrying out the order of the spiritual master to please, to preach, then you definitely get Krishna's mercy, because if Radharani recommends, which she will, if someone preaches Krishna consciousness, chants Hare Krishna, follows the regulative principles, then, as Srila Prabhupada instructed, then Srimati Radharani is very happy to recommend that devotee to Krishna, and that is the only way you can get to Krishna. And if someone thinks that they will just jump up some other way besides becoming a proper devotee under the shadow of Prabhupada, And they're totally mistaken. So we'll just leave it there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Anyone, I don't know if we have any time for questions, but maybe one or two quick if anyone's interested. Yeah. Okay, that's pretty much it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.